Snow.
It won't be long before we'll all be there with snow.
This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. The Winter Olympics are not the only way Illinoisans have gotten to see snow this season. The past month's forecast has brought a series of weekly storms, snowfalls, and snow squalls across the Midwest. And while winter brings with it the drudgery of shoveling, slippery ice, and travel inconveniences, major and minor, there are people who welcome winter and take full advantage of the snowfall. For a significant number of Peorians, that means hitting the trails and slopes at Donovan Park. Groomed by two local business owners, the cross-country ski trails are gaining traction this winter. Here to talk about the trails and his passion for skiing is the man behind the volunteer-led effort. Brett Beechler is the owner of Beechler's Vehicle Care and Repair in Peoria. Brett, welcome to the 21st. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Brian. I appreciate it.
And listeners, I should just mention to you, we taped this conversation ahead of time, so we're not taking calls for this segment, but you can always let us know what you thought in real time on Twitter. We're at 21st Show, at 21ST Show, or send us an email, talk@21stshow.org. So, Brett, you, I understand, grew up skiing, and your journey to to making Peoria a ski-friendly place started as a three-hour process of grooming cross-country ski trails. Can you talk about this? How did you get this idea?
Oh, sure. So my wife and kids and I would go up to a facility called, it's called ABR, Advanced Backwoods Retreat. And it was in Ironwood, Michigan. And I've been skiing since I was probably 10 with my dad. He's really the one that got me inspired to cross-country ski. And we used to go to ski races up in Wisconsin. It was a way of us visiting family up there because that's where my mom's side of the family was. And it was just a bonding thing for my dad and I to do. And, you know, still to this day with skiing, I always call him up. Hey, how'd you do in the Berkey? How'd it go? Hey, Dad, you know, so there's a connection there with my dad and I. So that's a lot of people have that connection with their parents. So, so we would go to this place, 1400 acres, approximately. It was the most unique setup I've ever seen. They have ski in cabins where you take all of your equipment, everything. They only have there's no running water and no electricity. I know the average American would sit there and say, you're crazy. But it was the most serene, peaceful vacation I think we ever had. So I got to talking to the owner of the place. We became like family with them. And I'm like, hey, what would it take for me to be able to groom down in Illinois? Because it's a 7-hour plus trek to get up there. So he said, here's what it takes. Here's entry-level equipment. Here's the compactor you need to pull behind a snowmobile. Here's the comber, and here's the track setter you need for classic skiing. So I got with Rich, and I said, hey, is there any way you want to partner with us on this? And Rich is an owner of a local, like, outdoors store. It's been around probably 40 years, a long, long time. And Rich said, hey, how about we'll split it. So I bought the snowmobile, got the gearing of the snowmobile brought down, because snowmobiles generally don't like to go 10 miles an hour, which is about grooming speed. So the person I bought it from, Wisconsin, actually geared it down to where I can go slower and not burn up a transmission. So I bought the snowmobile, maintain it. Rich bought the grooming equipment. It was about halfsies. I mean, both of us about 50% into it, but I take responsibility for the grooming, and it's not to be a control freak or anything like that, but it's, you got to be careful with the snowmobile because you can kind of tear it up, and you got to be careful going up and down the hills. So it's two laps of compacting, two laps of combing, which sets it for skate skiers. And then I generally take another lap setting a classic ski tracks for the classic skiers, which 90% of the people that come to Donovan, they classic ski anyways. And that's pretty much the mix when you get down in Illinois. You don't see a lot of skate skiers. They call it freestyle or skate skiing.
Well, let me ask you about the different kinds of cross-country skiing, because I think you're using some terms that are maybe a little unfamiliar to our listeners. I myself used to go cross-country skiing with my mom when I was a kid, but I haven't done it since then. So it sounds like this is not just snap on a pair of skis to your boots and head out in the snow. You're doing a lot of prep work. So what are the types of skiing you're talking about?
You know, it really boils down to two different types. There's one, this is where cross-country skiing originated from. It's called classic or diagonal stride skiing. Most people call it classic skiing. And it's when your skis are in the track, you actually have a kick zone on your ski. A lot of classic skis come waxless, so you don't have to. That's one of the reasons why I left classic skiing, is I had to dial in the wax, and I'd only ski once or twice a year on snow, and it's an art to get the kick zone dialed in. So I switched to skate skiing. But anyway, classic skiing is I believe it's simpler to learn, because it's almost like you're hiking with poles. And then as you progress in your technique, you start to kick and glide. I always encourage people to start out classic skiing before they start into skate skiing or freestyle. So there's only two types. Freestyle came about back in the 80s. I don't know if you remember a skier by the name of Bill Cook. He was one of the first Americans to medal in Olympic. And he was one of the first skate skiers or freestyle skiers in the sport. And to me, it's a glide zone on the ski only, and it's super simple. Like, I got my skis prepped Monday night for the Birkebeiner, which is a big ski race in North America, last Saturday in Hayward, Wisconsin. And it was I had to put four layers of wax on it, scrape them, brush them, the whole ball of wax. But it's a much easier process than trying to get a kick zone dialed in. So basically those two types. I skate, but the trick is with skate skiing is I read once years ago that it's about a 7-year learning curve to master skate skiing. It's kind of like, I don't know if anybody on this show ever swam competitively. Swimming's the same way. It takes quite a bit to master your swim stroke. You don't just get in the water and, you know, move your arms. There's a lot of technique that goes with swimming, that in order to get proficient and efficient in that sport. And skate skiing is essentially the same way. It's kind of like speed skating. People can resonate with that. And it's longer. It's, you know, 193 centimeter skis on the bottom of your feet, and you're skating with poles through the woods. And it's to me, it's like poetry. I never get enough of it. I can train in the off season. I use things called roller skis. And that allows me to train with no snow. But the problem is you can't roller ski with like slop and ice on the streets. You got to have clean streets to do it. So those are the two techniques.
We'll look for you.
But I would encourage anybody who wants to get into it, just find a used pair of classic skis. Waxless is the best. Poles to go with it. It won't be a high investment, and just go out and enjoy the snow. You don't have to have track setting like I do at Donovan. But I will say it's more enjoyable when you do have track setting, because your skis don't hunt out of the snow when you have to set your own tracks. When you have tracks set, you can look up, you can enjoy the scenery more, versus always having to look down at your skis and concentrate where the tips are plowing into.
I'm so glad you pointed that, because that was my experience as a kid learning to cross country ski, and you know, not fancy, no lessons or anything like that, but it's just you're breaking a lot of snow if you're making your own tracks. So that's
you're breaking
difference.
A lot of snow, which is truly where cross country skiing started. That's people would ski over mountains in Europe, and that's the history of cross country skiing, and that's what they did, is they just made their own tracks. So they didn't have the mindset. Now there are wider skis to do that floats you on the snow a little bit better, kind of like snowshoes. But as skis get faster and faster, the skis that are real narrow as a classic ski are the ones that are made for the track. You don't want to take narrow skis out and plow through the backcountry. They actually make backcountry skis for that, because you can float on top of the snow better.
Okay, so you it's know, about the
it's
equipment.
Like tires. I'm in the automotive business. It's like tires. People always say, well, I want to get the biggest tires so I can go through the snow. And I'm like, well, that's not how it works, because the bigger the tire, the more displacement you have, and the more that tire will float on top of the snow. The ideal way is like when I go north and I see four-wheel drive vehicles, they actually put very narrow tires on to plow through the snow. The right ones do, and you have a lot more weight distribution on the smaller area of tire. So anyway,
that
I know
makes
it
a lot of sense.
Kind of,
yeah. No, that's great. I love that analogy. Let me just take a moment to remind listeners we're speaking with Brett Beechler, who's the owner of Beechler's Vehicle Care and Repair in Peoria, as we just heard. But more to the point, he and one of his friends in the area, who's the owner of the Bushwhacker Outdoor Store in Peoria,
Rich Pestine,
have taken it on themselves to groom about 4 kilometers of cross-country ski trails in the area. So let me ask you, Brett, how does the snow play into, you know, the weather we've been having here, you know, wet snow, dry snow? What's the best for cross-country skiing?
That's a great question. So I always explain to folks, I need 6 inches to be able to set tracks and compact snow and things like that. Like the 2 inches we have coming Thursday is not going to be, it's not enough for me to go out and do anything because I'm going to see a lot of exposed grass and things of that nature. And ideally it's best to have like a moderately moisture content snow. The real light, fluffy snow that we sometimes get is not ideal because it there's just not a lot of substance there. It's low moisture content and it's difficult to compact. It's kind of like, jumping on a down coat and fur goes everywhere or whatever you want to call the, right. the content that's inside. It's snows the same way. Super heavy, wet snow. We can do it. We can groom it, but it just gets kind of sloppy and snowmobiles have to work harder. Now the perfect way to groom is, they have these big snow cap machines that a lot of our listeners have probably seen on the mountains. That's the real, they're $150,000, but the real cross country complex owners use these things and they're able to, it's kind of like having a, you know, big piece of machinery with big tracks on it. And they make a much better base than snowmobiles with the compactors that we have. But I love it. I mean, I go out there and I'm setting tracks and just the smiles on people's faces. They're so happy that, you know, this is being done. Yes, our season is short. Yes, I wish we had snow longer. But it's just so neat to see the energy within this park that's used to be a 18-hole golf course and they converted it into a park. And the neat thing is all the rolling hills they made for the golf course, we get to enjoy cross-country skiing. So it's not just this flat golf course throughout the entire thing. Actually, one of the local high schools uses this particular park. A friend of mine, Dan Gray, he has his 5-kilometer cross-country running course set up on this particular property. So it's well used. I think it is. It's right in the center of the city, so most people can get to it in 5 or 10 minutes. And
yeah.
It's just neat to see the energy and that gets involved in this.
Well, we're almost out of time, but I should mention to listeners, we're taping this ahead of our live program because you're leaving for the Birkebeiner, I understand, this weekend. So for those who don't know, this is the largest cross-country skiing race in North America. I understand you've done it 26 times. What do you have planned for this weekend? Are you working to beat a personal record or anything like that?
You know, what's funny is, it's a 31-mile race. It's 50 kilometers. And, you know, my wife, still to this day, after being together 23 years, she's like, well, just tough it out and you can go fast. I'm like, well, that's not how endurance racing works. Like, you train your body for a long period of time to be able to max out on VO2 and, you know, lactic threshold and all that stuff. And this is going to be a cruise year for me. You know, Olympians come in and they do it in 2 hours. You know, there's citizen skiers that do it all the way up to 8 hours. I think they have a cutoff on 8 hours. It won't be a PR year for me, but you know what? The bottom line is I love that part of the country and there's the energy that we have at Donovan Park is like a little thimbleful, but you go up there and the energy people just, and they embrace the outdoors and that's what I love about it, you know? And, you know, I've done it as fast as like a 2:44, but I've also been in the 6-7 hour range when I first started doing it. It's just, I love being around the people. They're just so, they love being in the outdoors and enjoying their sport. And there's no finish like it in the country. I don't believe. I've been to a lot of races and they finish on Main Street in Hayward and there's thousands of people that line the street for all day long. It's not just for the Olympic skiers that come across, but all day long, people are out there just having fun and adding to the energy of the air. And it's just, there's no race like it in the country. They call it the Boston Marathon of ski racing. And it truly is. I mean, like Keegan Randall, I don't know if that name resonates with you, but she's been doing the Berkey the last couple of years. She was an Olympic gold medalist. I would imagine Jesse Diggins, who medaled this year at the Olympics, will be there probably next year. She actually started out in a shorter race called the Cortalopet, which goes on Friday. It's about a 29-kilometer race, but she actually won that back when she was like 16 years old. And a lot of Olympians have come through there. Keegan Randall will be there again this year representing the sport. Nice. There's actually a pro cyclist coming to do the Birkebeiner this year. I forget his name, but I just watched a video on it. He's coming to try it for the first time. But it's technique-oriented, so it'll be interesting to see how he does. But a lot of leg strength, but he still needs upper body strength to do the sport. And, you know, it's just neat to see 10,000 people come on a town of 1,800, and it's just a festive atmosphere, and there's nothing like it. And yeah, my dad got me started early, and yes, I've done 26, but I don't know if I'll ever end. I mean, someday I may be called to end, but we'll see. This is too much fun.
Well, thanks so much for being with us today. Brett Beechler is the owner of Beechler's Vehicle Care and Repair in Peoria, and along with Rick Pestian, maintains cross-country ski trails at Donovan Park. Thanks so much for being with us to share your passion for cross-country skiing, and good luck this weekend.
Yeah, my pleasure, and thank you.
And that's all the time we have for our show today. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again next week.